بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله، وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. وروي عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى أنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله تعالى يرفع بهذا الكتاب أقواما ويضع به آخرين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected honorable ulama kiram, brothers, elders in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, the ummah of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by having bestowed us through the medium of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a book that we all know as the Kalam of Allah, the Quran Kareem. Such a formidable and such a precious asset with which Allah Ta'ala mentions, with regard to which Allah Ta'ala mentions, that Hudal Linnas wa Bayyinati min al Huda wal Furqan. That the Quran Kareem is a guide for the entire mankind, and it has clear verses that give inspirational guidance and teaches man to differentiate between right and wrong. The miraculous nature of this book of Allah is such that it has withstood the test of time. More than 1400 years have passed, yet we have the same Quran Kareem in our hands as it was revealed upon Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, totally unchanged, unaltered, unadulterated, no commissions, no omissions, no distortions, fully intact. Every single verse, every single word, every single letter, every diacritical mark has been kept intact, and that is what we possess today in our hands, such a precious asset. Those people who unfortunately cannot see the progress of Islam have made efforts through the centuries, from the time of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in later centuries as well, they have made efforts to snatch this asset away from the Muslims, but they have failed dismally. For instance, if you look during the British reign over India, when it was a British regime, on one occasion, a British parliamentarian stood up in parliament, and in order to make the Muslim youth incline away from the teaching of the Quran, he made a very foolish statement. He said that we have to produce such a generation of Muslim youth who, as far as their names are concerned, may be Muslim, as far as the family lineage is concerned, they may be regarded as Muslim. But we have to create such a mentality and such an outlook towards life within their minds that they must become British through and through. In other words, they must discard and forget the teachings of the Quran. But of course, they failed dismally. A certain British gentleman attempted to destroy copies of the Quran. He went to Panipat, which was the center and seat of Islamic learning in those days. He went to the bookstores and he purchased every single copy of the Quran he could find. He put it into a box and dumped that box into a nearby river. The next day, he carried out the same exercise, purchasing copies of the Quran wherever available, putting them into a box and dumping them into the river. A certain Muslim, an alim in fact, observed him for a few days, and he realized that this man is engaging in a futile exercise. He took him home for a cup of tea, and as he was sipping the tea, invited two young boys, both of them hafiz of the Quran. He made the one child recite and the other child listen to the first child. Wherever the first child faltered, the second child corrected him. So he began to scratch his head. He was puzzled, this British gentleman, and inquired, "What is going on here?" So the alim said to him that these two young boys have memorized the Quran They have committed to memory the entire Quran from cover to cover. The first boy was reciting and the second boy was correcting him wherever he faltered. Then he explained to the British gentleman that I have observed you for a few days, that you are purchasing copies of the Quran, going and dumping them into the river as if to try and destroy the Quran al-Karim. No matter how many attempts you make, even if you destroy every single printed copy of the Quran in the entire world, we have these young children that have memorized the entire Quran from cover to cover. Even if you destroy all the printed copies of the Quran, one child will recite to a scribe, and the scribe will rewrite the entire Quran, so you cannot obliterate and destroy the copies of the Quran from the minds of the Muslimin. So these futile exercises took place. So nevertheless, these feasibility studies were conducted time and again by people who did not want to see the progress of Islam, to try and snatch this valuable asset away from the Muslims, but it always ended in dismal failure. This book, the Kalam of Allah, is such that it is a miracle that will remain with us up to the day of Qiyamah. In the hadith, Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam has explained the miraculous nature of this Qur'an, that مَا مِن نَبِيٍ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ إِلَّا قَدْ أُعْطِيَ مَا مِثْلُهُ آمَنَ عَلِ الْبَشَرِ وَإِنَّمَا الَّذِي أُوْتِيتُ وَحْيًا أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ فَأَنَا أَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Nabi Kareem Sa'azam says that every Nabi that came into the world, Allah Ta'ala, with His permission, allowed these Anbiya to perform certain miracles in order to show to them the authenticity of the Deen of Islam, so that they may bring Iman upon the Shariat, upon the doctrines brought to the people by the Nabi of that particular time. So these miracles are performed by these Anbiya in order to draw the masses towards the authenticity of the Deen of Islam, and the miracles were in conformity to the need of the time. For example, during the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a proliferation, dominance of magicians. Magical acts were being performed. Most of these magical acts comprised of mesmerism, of hypnotism, that it would appear to the eye of the onlooker that a certain thing has changed form, but in reality that would not change form. So the magicians of the court of Firaun, when they threw their ropes onto the floor, it appeared to the people as if they had transformed into snakes, into pythons, but in reality they were still ropes. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam showed the miraculous nature of the Qudrat of Allah. When he threw his staff, his stick onto the ground, it literally turned into a huge python that devoured all these ropes of the magicians that appeared to be pythons, were not pythons in reality. يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِمْ أَنَّا تَسْعَى. The Qur'an Kareem says, it appeared to them as if these were snakes walking along the ground, but they were not in true snakes, but the staff of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, his stick, literally, in reality, became a python that devoured all these ropes of the magicians. So this in line with the need of the time, to show the overwhelming dominance of a miracle, that it could overpower all the great so-called magic of the magicians of the time. In the time of the Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a dominance and an advance in medical research. There were great physicians, doctors of the time. But no doctor obviously could restore the eyesight of a person that was born blind. No doctor could bring back to life a dead person. Allah Ta'ala showed these miracles on the hand of the Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that people that were born blind, He passed His hands over their eyes, made dua to Allah Ta'ala, and with the will of Allah, their eyesight was restored. He summoned a dead person from his grave, that قُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, and with the permission of Allah, that person came to life. So in this way, this was a miracle, with the permission of Allah, to indicate that the Sharia, the deen that Isa alayhi salam brought to the people, was no man-made religion. It was divinely inspired, revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Nabi of the time. Similarly, in the time of Nabi Karim Sa'azam, there was a dominance of eloquence of in the literary field. There were many great literary figures of the time that produced excellent poetry, etc. So the Quran, being the word of Allah, obviously no one can ever match the word of Allah. And the Quran issued a challenge. Then, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. That if you are in doubt with regard to the book of Allah, being the word of Allah, if you have any doubt, then produce even a single little surah, a little chapter of the Quran that can compare with the Quran in eloquence, in excellence. But no one was able to meet this challenge. Those who tried failed dismally. People like Musaylamah al-Kazzab, the false claimant of prophethood, he made a dismal attempt like a little child trying to write a nursery rhyme. He merely took some verses of the Quran, Al-Qari'atum Al-Qari'ah, and he replaced it, substituted it with his own words. He said, Al-Filu Mal-Fil, that the elephant, what is the elephant? Wama Adraka Mal-Fil, what do you know about the elephant? He said about the elephant, that Lahu Khurtumun Tawil, Wa Dhanabun Qasir, it has a long trunk, but a very short tail. So even his own followers actually laughed at him. That this was a dismal attempt in trying to match the eloquence of the Quran. He was unable to do so. So this is a miracle of the Quran that is with us today. In this hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that all the Anbiya were granted miracles. But I have been granted the greatest miracle. Why is it the greatest miracle? That up to the day of Qiyamah, no one will ever be able to match the Quran in excellence, in eloquence. And another reason, this miracle is with us today. In our bookshelves, in the masajid, in our cupboards at home, we have this living miracle of the Quran to stay with us up to the day of Qiyamah. In that sense, it is the greatest miracle. The miracles of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were confined to their time and era, to their age. We do not see those miracles today before us. But the miracle of the Quran has withstood this test of time for 14 centuries and more, and to remain with us until the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I have been granted the revelation, the book of Allah, as the greatest miracle, that is to stay up to the day of Qiyamah. And because it is the greatest miracle, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, أَرُجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I have full hope in the mercy of Allah, that I will have the greatest amount of followers that will follow me into Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. And this has been elaborated, explained in another hadith, where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions to this effect, that all the people that will go into Jannah, among those people will be the people of the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that brought Iman on the true religion, not the distorted Christianity that we see today. The people that brought Iman upon Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the true religion of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and so forth, the other Anbiya that had followers and died with Iman that was required of that age and time, they too will go into Jannah. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains that on the day of Qiyamah, 120 rows will be formed of people going to Jannah, like the rows we have in Salah, but these will be no ordinary rows. A person will not be able to see the end of a row. They will be very, very wide. 120 rows of people are going to Jannah, will march into Jannah. Out of those 120 rows, 80 rows will comprise of the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means 2/3 of all the people going to Jannah will be the people of the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The remaining 1/3 will be the followers of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So this shows the excellence of the religion that we have been bestowed with through the barakat of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a deen, such a religion, that even when Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, with regard to him, or with regard to whom, our belief is that he is living in the heavens. Allah Ta'ala raised him bodily. He was not crucified on the cross as a Christian believe. Allah Ta'ala took him up alive, and prior, before Qiyamah, before the advent of Qiyamah, he will be given permission to once again descend to the earth and to guide the Muslims. But when he will return as a guide for the Muslims, he will conduct himself and he will rule according to the Shariat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to our Shariat, according to the teachings of the Quran and not the teachings of the Injil of the Bible. In this way he will rule. So such is the dominance of the religion of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his Shariat, that even Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be obligated to follow the Shariat of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to guide the people of that time towards the Sharia of Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in his presence, in his barakat, the entire world will revert to Islam and they will become Muslim. But after he leaves the world, and after Imam Mahdi also leaves the world, then eventually once again, Shaitan will get a stronghold and people will leave the world as Muslims and the remaining people will once again turn towards kufr, turn towards shirk, and Qiyamah will take place upon the kuffar when not a single person will remain to recite the kalima la ilaha illallah or to take the name of Allah. So look at the beauty of our Shariat and religion. Even Isa alayhi salam will be constrained to follow the Shariat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi salam. On one occasion, during the British regime and rule of India, there was a great scholar of Islam by the name of Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, Muhaddith Dehlvi Rahmatullahi. Once a Christian, so-called intellectual, came up to him and posed a blinder of a question, thinking that I will trap Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, Muhaddith Dehlvi Rahmatullahi. He will give such an answer that will prove to the masses that Christianity is dominant over the Islamic religion. The question he posed to him, he said to him, the question seemed very, very simple and straightforward, but there was a deeper meaning. He asked Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, Muhaddith Dehlvi Rahmatullahi, they tell me, if a traveler gets lost on his journey, he comes to a crossroad and is confused, he does not know whether to go on straight ahead or whether to turn right or to turn left, and he finds two people at that crossroads whom he can ask for directions. One person is resting, asleep, and the other person is wide awake. So this priest posed a question. They tell me, will this traveler ask directions from the sleeping person or from the person who is wide awake? Obviously, his motive was to try and tap Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, Rahmatullahi, that because we as Muslims believe that Isa alayhi salam is alive in the heavens, he was raised up alive bodily into the heavens, he has not tasted of death yet in this world. That will take place when he returns, when once again he descends to the earth, then one day he will pass away as well. So because Isa alayhi salam is alive, the Muslims believe this, so he equated this person wide awake to Isa alayhi salatu salam. And our Nabi, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is resting peacefully in his qabr in the Rawza Mubarak in Madinatul Munawwara. So he posed a question that will the traveler ask directions from the person wide awake or from the sleeping person? Expecting Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib to give the reply that this lost traveler will ask directions from the person who is wide awake, then to reach the conclusion that it is better to follow the religion of the Nabi that is alive in the heavens, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu salam, rather than following the religion of the Nabi that is resting peacefully in his qabr, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib rahmatullah was not a foolish person. He did not fall into the trap. He said, he replied to the priest, that this traveler will notice a look of anxiety on the face of the person that is wide awake, realizing that this person also is looking for direction. So then he will reach the conclusion, traveler, that the person that is standing wide awake, he is waiting for the sleeping person to wake up so that he can ask him for directions. So obviously the traveler will also ask that person for directions. In other words, he will seek direction as far as future life is concerned from the Shariat and from the deen of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the person wide awake equated with Isa alayhi salatu salam that he too will follow the Shariat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On another occasion, there was an English gentleman during the British reign over India by the name of Mr. Metcalfe. Once he had a prominent priest visiting him from Britain, and he said to this priest, who also seemed to be a very intellectual person, he said to him, there is a man in Delhi by the name of Abdul Aziz. None of our priests have managed to defeat him in a debate. You are a very intelligent person. You go up to him and try and defeat him in a debate. So he took on the challenge. He went to Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, Muhaddith Dehlvi Rahmatullahi, and posed this question to him, that you Muslims believe that the grandson of your Nabi, That is Imam Hussain, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, was martyred on the battlefield of Karbala. So how is it that your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not save his grandson from being butchered on the battlefield of Karbala? So Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib rahmatullahi said to him, before I answer this question, let me pose a question to you. That you as a Christian, do you believe that Isa alayhi salam, do you believe that Jesus was the son of God? He says, yes, I believe. Then he posed the question, do you also believe that Jesus was crucified on the cross? He says, yes, I believe in that. So then he said to him, that how is it possible that God Almighty, in your belief, could not save his son from the crucifix? So how do you accept our Nabi to save his grandson on the battle of Karbala? First you explain that why was God Almighty not able to save his son? Then I will say that how is it Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was unable to save his grandson? So obviously he was totally perplexed and he realized he could not beat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib at a debate and he went on his way. So this shows the dominance of the deen of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that even as Isa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, when once again he descends to the earth, he will be constrained to follow the Sharia of our Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Such is the beauty of this religion. And this Quran Karim, this valuable asset, came to us after a tremendous amount of sacrifices on the part of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the part of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. When wahy used to be revealed upon Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was a very daunting task. It was not very, very easy. The ahadith explained to us that when a wahy, a single ayat used to be revealed, it used to create such a burden upon Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he bore this burden because of his ummat, that the Quran can be conveyed to them. It used to be such a burden that perspiration, beads of perspiration, used to come down his cheeks. Even if it was a cold winter's day, he used to perspire when the wahy would come down. And the weight of the wahy was such that on one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was resting his head on the lap of a sahabi and some wahy happened to descend. That sahabi later commented and he mentioned that when the wahy came down, I felt as if a mountain was placed on my lap. Such was the weight of the wahy. In some hadith it comes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be on camelback, and wahy would descend, the weight of the wahy would be such that even the camel would buckle under the weight of that wahy, of that revelation. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam withstood this weight of the wahy for the sake of you and I, for the sake of his ummah. So we are indeed very, very unfortunate if we do not appreciate the sacrifice of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we do not follow the book of Allah, the Kalam Mubarak, as taught to us, as expounded to us, as espoused to us by Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that will indeed be our ill fortune. The verse of the Quran which I recited, Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding the weight of the wahy, that لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل, if we were to reveal this Quran upon a mountain, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله, you would see the mountain humble itself and break into smithereens, into bits and pieces, because of the fear of Allah and because of the sheer weight of the wahy. Such is the weight of the wahy that even a mountain would not be able to bear that weight, and yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bore that weight for the sake of his ummatis. Such was the tremendous sacrifice of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On this, with regard to this verse, on one occasion in South Africa, we had a jamaat that came out for a few chillas to South Africa from a country called Gambia, which is on the western coast of Africa. One is Zambia, all most of us may have heard of that, but Gambia is not a well-known country with a G. This Jamaat came and explained an incident that took place in a certain European country. A man who was extremely, obviously, jealous of the progress of the Muslims, an enemy of Islam, went onto the stage at a certain function. Being a non-Muslim, he desecrated the Qur'an al-Kareem. He went onto the stage with a copy of the Qur'an and he placed it on his head. And then he said to the audience that the Muslims claim that there is a verse in the Qur'an which I just translated now, where Allah Ta'ala says, if we were to reveal the Quran on a mountain, the mountain would humble itself and break into smithereens. So this wretched person went onto the stage and he puts a copy of the Quran on his head with his napak hands, and he says, how can this verse of the Quran be true when I'm placing a copy of the book of the Muslims on my head and I'm not breaking up into pieces? I'm fully intact. Not only did he suffice with that, he then threw the copy of the Quran onto the stage and he began to trample the Quran, began to stomp onto the Quran. The event was over. People went on their way. And this wretched soul, when he left that function, he got into his motor car. He had traveled a bare few meters down the road and he was involved in such a horrific accident that his body was decapitated. Body parts lay strewn across the road. People had to pick up body parts. When Allah Ta'ala hits, he hits with a vengeance. That this mockery of the Quran that he made, Allah Ta'ala proved, maybe not on the stage, but outside that venue, when he went in his motor vehicle, the accident was so horrific that his body parts were strewn across the road, totally decapitated. So this shows the might of the Quran and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah Ta'ala wishes to strike, Allah Ta'ala strikes very, very hard. On one occasion, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh was on one of his journeys. He was traveling through a certain town. And as he walked through the town, he noticed that a Christian was engaged in a debate with a Muslim. That town was such that a masjid was built on the side of the road where these two were engaged in a debate. And directly opposite the masjid was a Christian church. So this Christian gentleman was boasting that Muslim was not an alim, could not reply to this Christian. The Christian was indicating that look at this wonderful masterpiece, pointing towards the church. What a beautiful piece of architecture. Not a single crack in the walls. Whereas look at your masjid, the walls of the masjid are cracking. There are crevices in the wall. So it shows that our religion is more dominant, that our architecture also is more beautiful. It is also more resilient, more strong. Look at the walls of your masjid, that some cracks have appeared. So Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah noticed the Muslim was stumped, could not reply, so he took permission that could I reply on behalf of my Muslim brother? The Christian said, go ahead, not expecting a reply that would be suitable to him. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah said to the Christian that listen, our Quran Kareem, our book is recited in the masjid 5 times a day in the 5 daily salah. And this Quran is such with regard to which Allah Ta'ala Almighty says in the Quran that if we were to reveal this Quran on a mountain, the mountain would break into bits and pieces, into smithereens. So look at the miraculous nature of the Quran, that it is recited 5 times a day in the masjid, and the masjid does not come toppling down. There are mere few cracks that have appeared in the walls of the masjid. This shows that Allah Ta'ala wants to keep His place of worship, the true place of worship, intact. Your church does not have a single crack because verses of the Quran are not recited in this church. And then a karamat took place. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah pointed towards his church walls and he recited the very same verse, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. No sooner did he recite this verse that the whole church building came toppling down as if an implosion had occurred and it came crashing to the ground. That a single verse made this false place of worship crash to the ground. Our place of Haq, the masjid, where 5 times a day the Quran is recited, only a few cracks have appeared in the wall. This shows the dominance of Islam over every other religion. And we as Muslims are fortunate to have this religion of Islam brought to us down the generations by the efforts of our predecessors. We ought to take cognizance of the fact and realize that this is a religion that will stand the test of time up to the day of Qiyamah. We should regard ourselves fortunate, but it is not sufficient to make hollow claims that we have the greatest miracle in the form of the Quran. We have the greatest Sharia. The Sharia is meant to be followed. we should practically implement the Quran, then we will truly appreciate the Book of Allah, bring the Quran into our lives in accordance to the teachings of Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let us become personal embodiments, loving embodiments, personifications of the Quran. Then inshallah we will truly appreciate this Quran and gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith which I recited there too, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِآخَرِينَ. That Allah Ta'ala elevates and raises certain people by virtue of this Qur'an, and Allah Ta'ala makes other people drop and fail by virtue of the same Qur'an, by means of the same Qur'an, indicating that those who appreciate this boon bounty of Allah, those who follow the teachings of the Qur'an, Allah will elevate them in this world and in the Akhirat. As for those unfortunate people who do not follow the teaching of the Quran, whether it be a non-Muslim, whether it be a Muslim transgressor, they do not toe the line of Sharia, Allah Ta'ala makes them drop in this world and in the Akhirat. Allah Ta'ala make us among those people, fortunate people, who will follow the teaching of the Quran, who will be elevated in the sight of Allah in this world and in the Akhirat as well, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.